Well, do you have free will? You know, this morning I woke up, I went out, and I made my coffee, made my espresso, had some breakfast. Was that something that I decided to do, or is that something that was, you know, predetermined that would happen? Over in Exodus 4, you can turn there if you'd like, we have this story about Pharaoh and Moses and Israel. And something about this particular story has always puzzled me. It's when the amount of times that God hardens Pharaoh's heart. And this is kind of a confusing thing because, you know, you have your will and you have God hardening the heart of this man. And so how can these two things be? You know, did God decide, hey, Chandler should have some coffee this morning? Or is that something I decided? Was Pharaoh here doomed from the start when God said that he would have his heart hardened? You know, was it impossible for Pharaoh to ever change his mind? So today we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about, did God override Pharaoh's free will by hardening his heart? So here in Exodus, a little bit of context. If you can remember back, this is a time when Israel is under the enslavement captivity of Egypt. They've been this way for several hundreds of years. In the chapter before Exodus 4, we have God appearing to Moses through the bush. And we have him saying, hey, I want to take Israel out of Egypt. And then on the same at the same time, we also have Pharaoh, who's this, you know, essentially this dictator over Egypt, this powerful ruler obsessed with building monuments and expanding his empire, and essentially, you know, this almost god to the Egyptians at the time. So here in Exodus 21, all right, in Exodus 4, sorry, verse 21, we have God's declaration of what's going to happen here, right? God says here in verse 21 that Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. This is before Moses even talked to Pharaoh, but we see this right at the very beginning. And so it's easy to say, wait a second, wait, we haven't even talked to Pharaoh yet. How can God know this? You know, is God being unfair by already saying that he's going to do these things? But as I've said many times before in past messages, you know, it's important to look at the context, read through the entire passage here and section, and not just look at an isolated verse or several verses. So we'll start here in Exodus 5, verse 2, and we'll read Pharaoh's response to the very first thing that Moses says to him. Exodus 5, verse 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. So, you know, Moses isn't asking for, at this point in time, Moses is not asking for them to leave. He's asking for 3 days out in the wilderness. But, you know, Pharaoh's response is, whoa, I'm the God here. There's no other God other than me. And instead, you know, later in the chapter here, he gives even more work to the Israelites. You know, they now have to collect their own straw for the bricks that they were making. And just even, you know, through this response, who is the Lord? We start to see the mindset and the character and the self-importance that Pharaoh had about himself, and, you know, about that he put himself up on this pedestal, this almost divine status in the Egyptian culture of the time. You know, a couple months ago, I gave the sermonette on the Tower of Babel, about how they were trying to set themselves up as gods. And, you know, looking into the pharaohs, they were very similar. They almost set themselves up as gods in this Egyptian culture. So it's important here to remember that his initial refusals, there were many times that he refused this well before God hardens his heart. And we see throughout the next couple chapters that Pharaoh's defiance here is evident. He didn't need God to harden his heart. He had made his decision. He was already opposed to God's command. We see that Pharaoh's heart was already inclined against God, and he had an incredibly prideful nature that was completely contrary to Moses' appeal to turn back to God and let them go. You know, so we see examples from the early plagues, for example, Exodus 8, verse 15, where we see that, you know, a very interesting thing where Pharaoh has this momentary fear, you know? It's not just an immediate hardening of the heart, but it's a momentary fear. And then when the plague is gone, he's like, oh, I can relax again. And then he hardens his heart. So it's not just that he hardens his heart, but, you know, there's this back and forth, back and forth. It wasn't God who forced Pharaoh into this rebellion. Pharaoh created the steps. Pharaoh chose to resist God's command time and time again out of his own free will. Again, it's important to mention this is not God's coercion of trying to change Pharaoh's mind or anything. Rather, this was Pharaoh's choice. So moving on, we start to see God's response dropping down to the sixth plague. This is the first time that that God hardens the heart. But, you know, it's something that's interesting here. We have some 20 times that Pharaoh's heart is hardened, it says in these couple chapters. And there's something like 10 of them are, you know, it says God hardened the heart, and some other 10 is Pharaoh hardened the heart. And the author here in this book of Exodus seems to switch back and forth almost on the whim, and it's kind of confusing why the author doesn't seem to have a problem that he's switching back and forth. It's almost, you know, it's somehow that the author affirms that on one hand, it can be Pharaoh's own fault that he's doing this, but on the other hand, God's also involved in this. You know, and trying to understand this word hardening, we'll go into a little bit of a mini word study here with this word. Hebrew verbs can allow for internal modifications of them, one of which is the causal form. We've talked about this before in my previous sermonettes, the causal form, also known as the hippil form. So for example, a couple examples of this, the root word kadesh means to be holy, which can be modified in the hippil form, to hikdish, which means to make holy, right? Another example of this is the root muth, means to be dead. It can be transformed into hemet, which means to make dead, right? So you can transform these words. For example, in Joshua 10, 24, we see this word hemet used. It's used in talking about Joshua when he kills five kings. It says, quote, and cause them to die. You know, it's very plainly that this isn't anything other than Joshua killing them. That's quite plain. And then alternatively, we also have 1 Chronicles 10, where in that section of scripture, Saul falls on a sword, and it says, quote, Saul died because he had not shown himself to be faithful to God. But these are both the same word here. It doesn't mean that God caused the sword to enter Saul or actually killed him. It was rather that God allowed Saul to die. Both of these are examples of this word hemet. So to come back to our word, our hardening, the hiptil form of this is hikbid. So if you start looking at these words, hardening of the heart, a better translation of this wouldn't be hardening of the heart, but rather that God allowed the heart of Pharaoh to be hardened. It puts the responsibility not on God, but rather back on Pharaoh. You know, God uses the hardening of Pharaoh's heart for his own will, but that doesn't mean that God, you know, forced this sin upon Pharaoh. God did not force Pharaoh to sin, rather he permitted him to do it. And it's clear, you know, in the context of these couple chapters, that this wasn't God's intent, but it was Pharaoh that hardened his heart. There's several parallels to this. One, for example, is Romans 1:24, where it says, you know, God gave them up to their uncleanliness. This isn't talking about God literally forced them to sin or forced them into this uncleanliness, but this is rather, you know, allowing them to do so, letting them do so. You know, we all have free will. God, some amount of free will. God allows us to pursue our chosen paths. But as called and chosen and faithful people, we're called to, you know, stop sinning. We're called to repentance. We're called out of the world. We're called to become more like Jesus Christ and become perfect. But that doesn't mean we or anyone else is free from the consequences of sin. And that's just exactly what's happening here with Pharaoh. He's not free from the consequences of sin. Each plague here, you know, we have 10 plagues. Each plague here is a call to repentance, if you go back and look at these. These are all opportunities for Pharaoh to change. And again, like I mentioned earlier, this is another example in Exodus 9:27. We have another opportunity where Pharaoh has this, you know, immediate regret. In chapter 9, verse 27, he calls Moses and Aaron to him and, you know, throws up his hands. Hey, I've sinned. But, you know, that's immediately followed by this hardening of his heart again. He didn't have true repentance. As soon as the threat was removed, as soon as the frogs were removed or whatever it was, he went right back to the stubbornness and the pridefulness and not wanting to submit to God. And this pattern continued throughout all of the plagues, and it truly demonstrated that Pharaoh's heart wasn't in the right place. It wasn't in a repentant mindset, but rather it was concerned about himself. He was very self-centered and prideful. You know, something you can compare this with is Jonah and Nineveh. When he went to Nineveh, it was completely different. It was repentant, at least for a time. But we see here with Pharaoh that it was not repentant. It was repentant only in words and only sometimes, and then he would quickly re-harden his heart. It's important to note here that God's hardening of Pharaoh's heart was a response to Pharaoh's own repeated hardening. God was not introducing some new sin or some new action or something new that Pharaoh hadn't already done, but this was rather allowing him to fully experience the consequence of his actions, of his own choices, of these sins. Further on, we see that the plague of hail, again, Pharaoh admits sin, but soon reverts. Then we kind of had this breaking point with the death of the firstborns, right? He lets them go. But then, not a little bit later, does he start following them again into the Red Sea, again, demonstrating this, you know, lack of wanting to submit to God's authority into what Moses had brought to him. So now the question has to be asked, why did God allow Pharaoh's heart to be hardened? You know, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of learning this? Well, if you're in Exodus 9, you can drop down to verse 16. Exodus 9, verse 16 says, "But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up," talking about Pharaoh, "that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth." You know, if you were listening to the Bible study that the other Mr. Dowd gave this past week, he talked about this very thing, because this verse is talked about very much in Romans 9, and it's quoted exactly. This wasn't just a revelation to the children of Israel and to Egypt, but this was also something that was displayed to all the nations around Egypt at the time. The plague served not only as judgments against Egypt and as a miracle for Israel, but also to reveal the greatness of God to all the nations. And we can continue to see that through the next chapter, the next couple of books of the Bible, that this event is reiterated multiple times by other nations. You know, we see here that God's power and authority was on full display here, but this wasn't at the expense of Pharaoh's will. This wasn't because of that. Pharaoh had the opportunity to align himself with God's will multiple times, and every time he chose not to. Pharaoh was fully responsible for his own actions. So we see all of this culminate in the Red Sea, right? Pharaoh's ultimate defeat is that of his hardened heart was essentially, was ultimately a death in the Red Sea. A couple things for your notes. Proverbs 29:1. "He who hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed." Hebrews 3:12 through 15, this talks about warning us against hardening our hearts towards God. These are all examples of what this persistent hardening of your heart against God does to us. And the end of that is death, just like it was for Pharaoh here. So, brethren, in conclusion, Pharaoh's story here tells us the danger and shows us the danger of hardening our hearts against God continually. God did not override Pharaoh's free will. Pharaoh had free will and had allowance to do whatever he wished the entire time, and God allowed him to pursue his own path. That's what this word means. He allowed him to sin, but this ultimately led to Pharaoh's destruction. Pharaoh's downfall was the result of his own choices, no one else's, not God's. But God did use these choices to later fulfill his greater purpose of delivering Israel and glorifying his name. May we all learn from Pharaoh's example and choose the path of life, blessings, and obedience to God.